New information from the 2000 census reveals that significant numbers of Americans identify themselves as belonging to more than one race. This was the first time the option was added to the census. There were more than 50 combinations of racial backgrounds on the form. Census officials say among black respondents, 1 in 20 selected more than one category. The unexpected outcome could increase tensions among black Americans and further complicate the debate over race, NPR's Philip Martin reports.
Last spring, when a census worker arrived at his door in Mashpee, Massachusetts, with clipboard and pen in hand, Mwalim says he welcomed the opportunity to reveal himself completely to the U.S. government. Under the heading, Your Race, he checked off black.
The other race that I checked off was Native American.
Mwalim, a storyteller and musician who goes by one name, grew up on the Wampanoag Reservation in Mashpee on Cape Cod. He says in the past he was always forced to check one race or another on government forms, and it was always a coin toss.
My father is a Mashpee Wampanoag, and my mother's black. Her family's from Barbados, West Indies. It's impossible to choose. It's insane, I would say, to choose. The DNA that I carry is both Native American and African. That is a fact.
Mwalim says he knows what he is, but that he is often defined by what others see. A caramel-colored man with dreadlocks. His Native American heritage hidden by the camouflage of America's black-white racial expectations. But black people come in all hues, from flower pink to charcoal black, reflecting a cornucopia of shared racial backgrounds. Melissa Nobles is a political scientist at MIT and author of a new book, Shades of Citizenship, Race and the Census in Modern Politics. Nobles says had Mwalim been alive a little over 100 years ago and a census taker had come to his door, that person would have looked at him and on their own, without asking him, made a notation on the form.
The 1890 census is an unusual census because it had two categories which appeared only once, octoroon and quadroon, as well as mulatto, white, black, Chinese, Japanese, or Indian. One had 1/8 African blood, one was called an octoroon. If one had 1/4, one was described as a quadroon. If one has 1/8 African blood, that person, one would think, would have been considered white. But collection methods at that time relied upon enumerators looking at the people and making the determination. Self-identification as we know it today didn't begin until 1960.
Anthony Appiah teaches political philosophy and African American studies at Harvard University. Given the opportunity on the 2000 census to check lots of boxes, Appiah chose to go by what he sees when he looks in the mirror.
I just checked black.
Appiah is the son of a white English mother and West African father. He says he draws a sharp distinction between privately acknowledging his biracial background and the consequences of stating it publicly on a census form.
I'm inclined to think that for the purposes for which the government collects this kind of information, which has to do with discrimination and dealing with the consequences, it doesn't really matter if you have some non-African ancestry if you carry around a brown skin.
Appiah is concerned about the way the numbers from the census will be used. He believes the census numbers should be used to detect patterns of discrimination in society, and that the numbers can be skewed when people choose more than one category, making it more difficult to track progress of important social goals. He also believes that most people who are black take pride in that notion. Not all blacks feel that way. Historically, many light-skinned black people have tried to pass as white. It was once a common practice in America, and continues today. And before the Black Pride movement of the 1960s, moving on up within black society often meant having to pass the paper bag test. Your prospects of joining an African-American fraternity, sorority, or club were virtually guaranteed if you were lighter than the paper bag from the grocery store. Frank Wu is a professor of law at Howard University in Washington and author of The Race Debate, Beyond Black and White. He says the new census data suggesting an increase in biracialism is a positive development, but he fears it may reflect a reconfiguration of the old politics of color.
There's a racial hierarchy that's still at work, where it's better to be lighter than darker. Individuals should be able to identify who they are and prevent others from imposing their notions of who we are on us. Yet, at the same time, there are societal pressures to pick the category that's most advantageous. And in most circumstances, the category that's most advantageous is white. Fewer hassles. People don't think you're a foreigner. People don't think that you're stupid. They don't attach the sorts of racial stereotypes that are attached to people of color.
Wu believes the way people make these decisions says something about the preferences we have as a society. And those decisions often lead to tensions within communities, which want to claim biracial and multiracial individuals as their own.
So with Tiger Woods, when he declared he was Kablin Asian and said, I'm more Thai than anything else, that, I think, offended many African Americans for a reason. It's the problem of individuals trying to escape from the community. And although individuals should be given a choice, there's something very troubling if their choices start to form a pattern and everyone is trying to say, no, I'm not black. Well, that suggests that to be black is to be a pariah, that there's something stigmatic about being black.
Biracial self-identification presents other problems too, says performing artist and writer Mualim.
You find that factions of the Native American community reject you because of your self-identification. And the same is true for elements of the black community that say that if you are saying that you were anything other than just black, you are claiming that you were better than black. And with the Native American community, if you claim anything besides Native American, they feel that that is weakening the status of the tribe or of the nation by saying that everybody in the tribe isn't pure, which is an impossibility. There is no pure anything or anybody.
Mualim says he takes pride in both his backgrounds and navigates the demands of racial ownership through his music, in which he pays homage to both his Native American and African American heritage.
The voices of my ancestors.
I've gotten to experience two very, very rich, powerful and strong cultures that survived years of genocide. Both of these cultures have played a very strong role in shaping me as a person.
Experts say for Americans of more than one culture, there's often conflict between self-definition and how they are defined by the larger groups to which they belong. And they say this new census data is leading all Americans to consider a more complex definition of this thing we call race. Philip Martin, NPR News, Boston.